7 minutes after 4 Central African time on this beautiful Monday morning on our program Safina to Ilal Jannah. Well, today is the 17th of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1443. Let's welcome our beloved Honorable Fadilatul Ustad early this Monday morning. Ustad, welcome to Safina to Ilal Jannah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Arafat. Jazakumullahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussain. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Today, with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wala, is the 17th of Rabi'ul Akhir. And with the grace and mercy of Allah, we focus on chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, and verse number 78. Almighty Allah Jalla wala addresses the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the message is for each Muslim, male, female, who is sane and mature. And in this one verse, directly, indirectly, Almighty Allah Jalla wala is speaking about the 5 compulsory prayers that every Muslim has to pray daily, provided that he or she is sane and mature. Almighty Allah Jalla wala addresses Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and says, Aqimis Swalata. Salat refers to prayer. Why is prayer called salat? As-silatu bayna al-abdi wa rabbi. It is the link, the connection, the nexus between slave, servant, and Almighty Allah Jalla wala. We can never ever come near the mercy of Allah without prayer. So remember, this prayer will prevent us from vices and sins. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. When a person prays the salat and the namaz as he or she ought to pray it, then it will prevent us from all forms of obscenity and indecency and all forms of injustice. Chapter 29, Surah An-Kabut, the spider, and verse number 45. Chapter 29 and verse 45, Almighty Allah speaks about the virtues and the merits of prayer, salat, and namaz. Aqimis Salata. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is addressing Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You establish the prayer. So in Islam, for us to be salihin is not sufficient. We need to be salihin and muslihin. Salihin, we become pious, and muslihin, we encourage others also to become pious. So we are reading tahajjud salat 2-3 o'clock in the morning, but our children, our spouses are sleeping and missing fajr salat, for example, Allah forbid. So remember the early morning salat at 4 a.m., 4:30, 4:40, and we are reading the early morning prayer 2-3 o'clock. So that is unacceptable. So it means aqimis salat, we have to pray on time and encourage others to do so as well. They also must establish the prayer. Today you Muslim have so many problems with your children. They writing examination and they saying, Abi Ummi, O mother, father, beloved parents, make dua, I must be successful in my examination. But when December comes, the results are announced, accounts. Now they are missing all their salat. It's holiday time. All hell breaks loose. Nay. Surah chapter 14, verse 40. You, O father, mother, this is a potent, powerful supplication. Each one of us has to read. Rabbi ij'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyati. Oh, beloved Allah, make me from those people who establish the salat. And my progeny also, they must be reading, performing salat and namaz and prayer and encouraging others to do so. Rabbana wa taqabbal du'a. Oh, beloved Allah, you accept the supplication and the du'a. Chapter 14, verse 40. Aqimis salata, you establish salat, namaz, prayer, ya Rasulallah, ya Habiballah, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, liduluki shamsi, when the sun is declining. So the sun reaches its zenith, and now it passes the zenith. The zenith is called istiwa, what our people call zawal. The actual term is istiwa. So when the sun reaches its zenith, and now it's declining, shining towards the west, so you must read your salat. Liduluki shamsi, so you read your prayer at that time there. So the early afternoon prayer, 12:30, 1 o'clock, 1:30. So zohor salat, zohor prayer. Late afternoon, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock, depending where you are. So the late afternoon prayer. So these two prayers come in, the zohor and asr, in liduluki shamsi, after the sun is declining towards the west. Horizon. إِلَى غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ, to the darkness of the night. وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ, there the word غَاسِق, here غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ, إِلَى غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ, so when the sun sets, now the darkness increases. Immediately after sunset, the alternating of the day and the night, then we perform our Maghrib Salat. 1.5 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours after that, we perform the Isha Salat. So these are the night prayers. So we have two in the afternoon, early afternoon, late afternoon, and we have two at night, one immediately after sunset, and one 90 minutes, 2 hours after that. And then we retire and sleep. Now we wake up, now this is the time, wa Qur'an al-Fajr, and reading the Qur'an, recitation of the noble Qur'an, Fajr time. Therefore, just now we will leave and go to the mosque, to the masajid, and read our perform our Fajr Salat. The Imam, it is desirable, recommended for him to read long, long Qirat. It means the recitation will be long. Why? Because Qur'an says, in إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. Verily, the recitation of the noble Quran, Fajr time, is being witnessed. Witnessed by who? You see, today we have people who work for us in our filling stations, our factories, and so forth. So we have them on 8-hour shift. Then second group come in 8 hours. Then third group come in 8 hours. So the angels come Fajr to Asr. So that is one shift. And then from Asr to Fajr, so Almighty Allah lets their shift changes at that time there. And when they come, they see this Muslimah is praying all the time. And then they say, Ya Allah, that these servants of yours, they haven't seen you, but they love you so much. They are praying in the night time, praying daytime, and so forth. So may Almighty Allah give each one of us and our progeny, our students, the tawfiq and the ability, capacity, capability to perform our 5 salat, my mother's sisters, on time. Not you reading Asr Salat 5, 10, 15 minutes before sunset. That is wrong. It is reprehensible and very, very bad. Read all the salat on time. So that is what is beloved to all. Our program for today, inshallah, 105, that will be just after after the Zuhur Adhan, inshallah, we will continue with Surah Maryam and chapter 19, verse 59, just after the Sizda. From there, we'll carry on. And inshallah, 1:30 to 2, we will continue with Surah Ibrahim. And we will start with verse number 22 today, inshallah al-Aziz. And then 2 to 2:30, the report back. And very, very interesting, inshallah. And then 8 to 10 tonight, inshallah, the live Q&A. One announcement. Yesterday, we all heard what happened at Masjidul Aqsa. Our brother became shaheed and he was martyred and he was shot by the Israeli invaders and settlers and so forth. And one person who died was a South African. Remember that, a Jew, Jutla from here. He was a mercenary. He used to go there and so forth, join the IDF and so forth. So I pose this question first to our government. Is it permissible for a South African to go and serve a foreign army and an apartheid terrorist regime like Israel? And this is not the first time that they are doing this. You, Darko, you need to wake up our foreign affairs. How come you allowing all this and turning a blind eye to that? And if they say, yesterday I was reading all the news regarding this issue, they say 10 South Africans have died there already. So we say, good riddance. What business you got to go there to fight for the Israelis and so forth? So remember, and you don their uniform to terrorize and maybe even kill our Palestinians. So you deserve what you got as far as Islam is concerned. And from the international point of view, our international relations and our foreign affairs also need to probe this matter here. Is this justified and legal? We all know what the answer is. But remember, there seems to be some corruption there as well. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala protect us, protect the Haramain Sharifain, and protect Masjidul Aqsa and all our masajid and mosques throughout the world. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen.
Listener says, Ustad, that dear Mufti Sahib, I like smart cars. Is it a sin to own more than one car? People say I am extravagant and showing off my wealth, Ustad.
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in the noble Quran, Surah 25, Surah Furqan, the criterion, verse 63, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. The true servants of Almighty Allah, they walk on this earth, they move on this earth with humility. So if you, one car is a Ferrari, the other one Lamborghini, the next one Rolls Royce, the next one Cadillac, and you have all a collection, so obviously it is wasting and squandering money, and 90%, 80% of the time it is just showing off. And so Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, chapter 17, verse 27, Innal Mubazzirina Kanu Ikhwana Shayateen. People who squander their wealth, meaning in haram things, haram activities, they are the brothers of Shaitan and Satan and Lucifer. But if Allah gave you millions and you bought a car for yourself, for your wife, for your daughter, for your son, for this one, that one, it will be an asset for them, mashallah, and so forth. And instead of paying so much taxes, 40, 45, 50% taxes, so remember that is good. Inna Allah yuhibbu ayyara ni'mata atharihi ala abdihi. Verily, Almighty Allah loves to see the bounties which He has favored His servants with. You know, Imam Malik, Rahimahullah, Imam Udar al-Hijrah, the greatest, one of the greatest Ustad and teacher of Imam Shafi'i, Rahimahullah, of Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani, Rahimahullah. So he, every day, he used to wear new clothes. He said, Ijlalan wa tajlij and ta'ziman lil Hadith Sharif, out of respect for the Hadith Sharif, for the respect of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words. So if there's no pride involved and so forth, you're thanking Almighty Allah, then not only is it permissible, but it is meritorious and desirable to so do so. Why must we pay taxes to these corrupt governments? Rather, we use it ourselves, 100%.
Somebody says here, Ustad, that should I make a non-Muslim a Muslim, as I know I won't have any contact with him after today? He lives in a non-Muslim community, so will I be a sinner, as he will still be living in sin, Ustad?
Remember that when a non-Muslim male or female comes to you, immediately make that person a Muslim. If it's a male, then the Mawlana or the Imam, the Sheikh, he should make, or you yourself, if you know the basics, you explain that person and then make sure he or she must recite, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abdu wa rasuluh. I bear witness that truly there is none worthy of worship but all Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. I also bear witness wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. The Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, is, will always be the final and the last messenger and prophet of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Then the person is Muslim, provided that he read that sincerely. If it's a female, when I was in Auckland, New Zealand, so one Kiwi lady, white lady came, she said she wants to embrace Islam. I said, very good, sit there. I called my wife and then we explained to her Islam. So you should not be alone with the lady. Remember, that will compromise a lot of such things and position and situations. So some female should also get involved, your mother, your sister, your wife, your daughter, and in that way there. So inshallah, you bring the person into the fold of Islam, and then there in the nearby area, tell them who's the Imam, the Mawlana, the Sheikh and so forth, and inshallah then they can get the literature and all the necessary documentation. Three issues here: when we make someone a Muslim, make sure as soon as possible they must sign an affidavit that upon their death then they must be buried according to Islamic rules and regulations. We saw what happened, that many a time we gave ghusl, we bathed the person, and we did the shrouding, the coffin, we performed the Salatul Janaza, we read the funeral prayer, but the non-Muslim family came and they took him or her and cremated them or buried them in a non-Muslim graveyard, which is haram and unlawful. So you, the new Muslim, make sure you sign the affidavit. For you, the person who made that person a Muslim, authentic hadith, remember in Muslim Sharif, in Mishkat, Mustad Ahmed, it is the month of Muharram, it is the year, 7th year after the Hijrah migration. The place is Khaybar, and that is 150 kilometers away from Medina Munawwara, the headquarters of the Jews at that time. And Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses Sayyidina Ali because he is Fatih Khaybar, the one who conquered Khaybar and played the most prominent role among the Sahaba and beloved students and companions of the Master alayhi salam. La ayyahdi Allahu bika rajulan wa Wahida. Oh, my son-in-law Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu warda, because of your efforts, if one person embraces Islam, khayrul laka min humurin na'am, so it's better for you, min humurin na'am, than the red camels. Meaning that all the red Cadillacs and Rolls Royce and smart cars, that Ferraris, Lamborghinis, Maseratis, whatever, I don't even know. So you put all of them one side and you made one person Muslim, your action is better than all put together.
I see Alan is posing the question, Ustad, regarding the brother who served the Zionists from South Africa. And he says, could you please tell us more about him? He was only 26 years old who served the Israeli army. What's going to happen to his family? A young boy like that, Ustad, they were wrong.
Remember, young boy, yes, the family will feel very, very sad. That is something natural. But the family should be asking themselves that question. How come they allowed him to leave South Africa, go to Israel, join the defense force, don the Israeli rogue apartheid regime's uniform, and then oppress? They know what is apartheid. They lived in South Africa, the parents and the family, and now they know Israel is an apartheid regime. So now you go and you oppress the Palestinians and so forth. How you justify that? Therefore, from a Muslim perspective, he deserved what he got. Remember that. He went there and first time, second time, whatever, and then he made Aliyah. All of them went and so forth, and he's supposed to get married. Aliyah means what we call Hijrah. He migrated to settle there. But the question that needs to be asked, that from from the South African law point of view, and Durko has to answer this, that our foreign affairs, is this acceptable? Obviously it's not acceptable. From a Islam, from a human point of view, is it acceptable you go and join the Israeli apartheid regime, and then you know what they are doing to the Palestinians? So obviously he deserves. So we say good riddance. We don't have sentiments involved in this year. We have to speak the truth, and we have to stand for justice. That is what Islam teaches us, my brother Alan.
We've got a new listener, Ustad, brother Esther, A-S-T-E-R. He says, good morning, sir. We know that there is no justice in South Africa, and I accept the Islamic law. So, sir, I know the man who murdered my son, so I want to take revenge. Is it okay for me to kill him too? Brother Esther Ustad.
My brother, before you, I answer to you, we just need to rephrase your question a little bit. You see, when Islam speaks about qisas, qisas means a life for a life. Somebody comes and deliberately premeditated murder, homicide, and he admits it was an act that was done deliberately, intentionally, and so forth. So we, the family of the deceased, Islamic, we have five options. And if you want to know more about this, you should be reading, my brother Esther, chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, and you should be reading verse 178. Surah chapter 2, verse 178. The mistake you made there, my brother, is this. You say you want to take the law into your own hands, and then you want to kill the person who killed your son, and as revenge. That's wrong. So you must remember three things are wrong there. In Islam, it is not an act of revenge. It is an act of justice. The Jewish Jutla who got killed there, so this was divine justice. Remember that. You went to Israel to don the Israeli rogue apartheid armies, you must remember, uniform, to harass, maybe kill, intimidate the Palestinians, and you got shot. So remember that is retribution, divine justice, not revenge. So Islam does not believe in revenge. So the word qisas, if you study it Arabically, in Arabic it means mumathala, which means equality, justice. So that's first thing. That you're wrong there, don't use the word revenge. Second one, no one is allowed. You must remember to take the law into his own hands. So that also is not permissible in Islam. Third one, my brother Esther, isn't this strange? That people want to speak about Islam when it suits them. But other aspects of Islam, they the first one to object on it and so forth. So think properly, is this not selective amnesia or selective quoting and so forth? So my brother, you have to ask Almighty Allah, the one and only Supreme Being, Ya Allah, you let retribution take place. You say South Africa, there's no justice. What you think in America there's justice? That chap there whose name starts with the R, and he killed three white people, he's white himself, and remember that the jury found him not guilty, and now the riots and everything started in America. You think that was justice? I'm asking you. So 90% of the world, you won't find justice. So remember, it's not the case of South Africa only. I admit South Africa, the crime, the murder, the rape is gone out of proportion, beyond control, kidnapping and what have you. But remember, my brother, that we are not allowed to take revenge. We stand for justice. We are not allowed to take the law in our own hands. That we beg Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, you know the truth, you know everything, your knowledge is all embracing, all encompassing. You, Allah, you let justice prevail. I want you, Esther, two things you should do. Number one, Surah 2, chapter 2, and read verse 178, and then read this one attribute, one wonderful, beautiful name of Almighty Allah. You are a broken person, and I don't blame you. You, your wife, how will the father, mother feel when they know that their son's murderer is prowling the streets and running around and no justice has taken place? We all can understand that. But you must go and read. Now read with me. Ya Muntaqimu. Ya Muntaqimu. M-U-N-T-A, Muntaqimu, Q-I-M-U, M-U-N-T-A-N, Muntaqimu, M-U-N-T-A-Q-I-M-U, Ya Muntaqimu, read that, Ya Allah, you let the retribution take place and let justice prevail. So that is what you should be doing, my brother.
Ustad, Damien says that can we choose other people other than our parents to be our parents? I hate my mom and dad. They are drugsters, Ustad.
Remember that Almighty Allah gave us one set of parents. I ask you, my brother Damien, that how's your brothers, how's your sisters? You won't take offense. I ask you, how's your fathers? So you will take offense normally. How's your mothers? We have one biological father, one biological mother, and even if they are wrong, they are on drugs and they drink crazy things, alcohol and what have you. So remember, they swearing, abusing people. You as children feel ashamed of them. But in Islam, we are told we must pray for them. We must make still serve them. Wa in zalama. Open al adabul mufrad of Imam Bukhari. Open Mishkat Sharif. Various compilations. You will find the rank of parents, even if they're Muslim or non-Muslim, in both cases. So even if they oppress and they doing wrong, you children cannot say, these are not my parents. You can't go change your surname and so forth. Almighty Allah has said that haram, chapter number 33, verse 5. Ud'uhum li'aba'ihim, you must call yourself by your father's name. And remember, Habibuna Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man intasaba ila ghayri abi, whoever makes his lineage like adopted children nowadays and others, they change their name, their surname to somebody else beside their biological father. فَأَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَ وَالنَّاسِ يَجْمَعِينَ. Allah's curse is on them, the angels' curse is on them, and the people's curse is on them. Open Mustad Ahmad, Kanzul Ummal, and so forth. One point I will tell you, Damon, you and your siblings get together, have a joint strategy. There is a problem. We can't run away from the problem. So let us try and alleviate and solve this problem and see. So you have a joint strategy. Speak to your father, speak to your mother. What are the real problems? How can we help them and assist them? Not that you curse them and swear them. That will not help you in any way.
Sister Ronel says, according to all the journalists who starred, martyred in the attack on Israeli occupation in Al-Quds yesterday morning, that brother Fadi Abu Shahada, who was 42 years old, they say he was a terrorist. How true is that, Sister Ronel, Ustad?
Sister Ronel, I pose one question to you. I told you today, I don't say 100%, but I will tell you 80-75% of the press is Zionist control, and they not, you must remember, people who are journalists for justice. They are how when a lady sells a body, she's a prostitute. So these are prostitutes. You must remember that they have to dance according to their owners and their editor, then only will their article be presented and published and so forth. So what they say, like puppets, terrorists, is Israel, the regime, the state, not the terrorist regime. Is occupation not terrorism? Today, don't they have apartheid there? Worse apartheid than South Africa, Sister Renal. I'm a South African. I know what is apartheid. I've been there 5 times. So ask yourself this question. This is the example I want to stimulate your mind. I have a house, example, single story, double story, whatever it is. It belongs to me, it belongs to my wife, my children, and so forth. Now the terrorist rogue apartheid regime comes with their soldiers and army and so forth, and then they tell us, get out from here, because this we'll be using for the army and so forth. If you want, we will negotiate your outbuilding. What will you do? I'm asking you. You will say, no ways. So you must remember that I will fight till the end. And Islamically, they must fight till the end. So today, this word terrorism is bandied about. But they, the biggest terrorists. Remember that Israel is a super terrorist regime. From the day they were born on 14th May 1948 and before that. Ranel, you're a journalist. Go and Google Haganah. Go and Google Stern. These were the terrorist gangs massacring the Palestinians before the apartheid terrorist regime was born also. Go see what they did in the 30s and early 40s and so forth. Then you will come to know who are the real terrorists.
I see Brother Rafael Ustad. He says, thank you so much, sir, for speaking against them. I had a friend by the name of Fadil, who died 10 years ago in Palestine, a very good friend of mine. Ustad, Brother Rafael.
So, Rafael, I don't know that which faith you belong to, but my brother, if you're standing for justice, that's very good, irrespective whether you are a Jew, a Christian, a Hindu, or a Muslim. So that's good. We must stand for justice. We must become people of conscience and so forth. So you, my brother, that you say that the Israelis killed one person, so did they kill one or they killed thousands? That's the question from the time till today, 48 till now, and pre-48 what they did and so forth. So you need to know that this is the most oppressive regime, and when the United Nations, the whole world condemns them, Uncle Sam comes to their rescue, America with the veto and says no, the two-state solution, human rights, all that is lip service. If that type of resolutions are not worth the paper on which they are written, remember I told you the solution, and you can quote me anywhere in the world. One settler, one bullet will settle all issues. Last question.
Brother Iqbal Ustad is passing salams to you and to the team. He says he wants to know what's the latest in Afghanistan. I was told that if I am against the Taliban, I'm out of the fold of Islam. Iqbal Ustad.
No, that's not true. If a person is against the Taliban, you're not out of the fold of Islam. You're still a Muslim. What happens to people? They get carried away with the mass media and how they project and propagate and make propaganda. So many a time people make their opinion, go and say certain things or have opinions based on disinformation, misinformation, and so forth. Yesterday I sent out a clip, my brother Iqbal, but it's in Urdu, and there one brother there from Afghanistan sent the message that how things are improving and the 3 months' wages have been paid and now everything, the people have enough food and so forth and so on, and there's absolute now safety, security everywhere. They are facing one problem, and he speaks about it. He says the banks don't have currency and foreign currency, so those big businessmen involved in import, export, they are facing problems. But he said, beside that, everything is okay. So that is the latest. May Almighty Allah bless us all and guide us to the truth. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.